to bring forward any issues of relevance or interest to the council that are not otherwise listed on the agenda. Does anyone have an issue to bring forward? Okay, that concludes our open period for public comment. We'll break for lunch. Please come back at 1:30 for National Standard 10 presentation and discussion. We're on the 1:30 agenda item, which is a National Standard 10 presentation and discussion. We have Deb Lambert from NIMS Policy Shop here, and I'll turn it over to you whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm Deb Lambert for the NOAA Fisheries Service in Silver Spring, Maryland, the Office of Sustainable Fisheries, and I want to thank the council for letting me talk today about National Standard 10. So as you probably know, we published an advance notice of proposed rulemaking to revise the National Standard 10 guidelines in April, and we have a 90-day public comment period. I'll just start with the presentation, do a brief outline. I'm going to first provide some information on fishing safety, then provide some background on National Standard 10 and the current National Standard 10 guidelines, and then describe some of the issues that we're considering addressing when revising the National Standard 10 guidelines, and then lastly, summarize some opportunities for public comment.
Yeah, well, just so the council knows, you're in we're behind tab number one, document number one, under correspondence and reports. It's the printout of the slides, and I'm not sure what's going on with our technology. So why don't we? Why don't you just proceed? I'll have the council members follow along on the paper copy, and when the technology gets fixed, we'll catch up. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm on slide three. So although trends... Okay, here we go. Okay, so although trends in safety at sea have improved in the last few decades, fatality rates remain high compared to other occupations. According to the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, during 1992 to 2008, the average annual fatality rate for commercial fishermen was 128 deaths per 100,000 workers. And if you compare that to the rate for all U.S. workers, which was 4 deaths per 100,000, it's quite a high fatality rate. One of the things that Congress has done in response to safety issues was to add National Standard 10 into the Magnuson Act in 1996, and National Standard 10 states that conservation and management measures shall, to the extent practicable, promote the safety of human life at sea. This figure shows fatality information for various occupations. For 2009, at the top is on the left-hand side are list occupations. At the top is the fishers and related fishing workers. And then there's other occupations such as roofers and farmers and construction workers. On the left-hand side of the figure in blue shows the fatality rates for each occupation, and on the right shows the number of fatalities that occurred in 2009. So for fishers and related fishing workers, there were 56 fatalities in 2009, resulting in a rate of 200 per 100,000 workers, which is the highest out of all those occupations shown there. This figure shows fatality information for various, the figure shows a number of commercial fishing fatalities from 2000 to 2009 for four regions: the West Coast, East Coast, Gulf of Mexico, and Alaska. And what this shows is that annually about between 40 to 60 fatalities occur each year, and that they occur consistently across all the regions. So, as I mentioned before, National Standard 10 was added into the Magnuson Act in 1996, and the Fisheries Service published guidelines in 1998, and these are the primary source of NIMS guidance for the consideration of safety issues in fishery management plans and regulations. And as you know, the national standards apply to the 8 regional fishery management councils and to the Fisheries Service. And the Magnuson Act tells us that fishery management plans and regulations shall be consistent with the national standards. And it gives the Secretary of Commerce the authority to establish advisory guidelines for each of the national standards. So now I'll just summarize the contents of the current national standard guidelines, which were produced in 1998. There's 5 main sections. The first one just simply states the standard as it's written in the Magnuson Act. The second, Section B, provides some general statements about fishing and how it's a dangerous occupation. Section C of the guidelines provides some safety considerations to consider when evaluating management measures, and these include things like the operating environment, such as weather conditions and ocean conditions. The second one that's listed is gear and vessel loading requirements, so recognizing that vessels work in dynamic environments, so managers should consider the stability of fishing vessels when requiring certain gears or the removal of gears from water. And the third consideration is to avoid derby fisheries because they have been shown to result in safety issues. The Section D of the current guidelines describes that the council shall consult with the Coast Guard and the fishing industry if a regulation might affect safety of human life at sea. And that can occur through, that consultation can occur through an advisory panel or a committee or some other review of an FMP amendment. And the last section, Section E of the guidelines, lists 8 mitigation measures to consider to reduce potential impacts on safety at sea, safety of human life at sea. And I won't read through them all there, but they include things like reducing the race to fish and allowing for flexibility. So recent events suggest a need to revise the guidelines. They're 13 years old, and analytical methods to evaluate safety have improved or advanced during that time. Recent work by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health and the Coast Guard has shown that safety, there is a science to evaluating safety data, and it can be used in the management process. In addition, in the current guidelines do not contain any guidance on analytical methods to evaluate safety. In addition, there was a couple of events that happened last October. The National Transportation Safety Board hosted a fishing vessel safety forum in D.C. that brought together people from different agencies and different parts of the fishing community to discuss safety issues. And the Coast Guard Authorization Act of 2010 was signed last year that gave the Coast Guard a lot of authority and responsibility related to fishing safety. And so we thought because of this increased emphasis on fishing safety that we would relook at our National Standard 10 guidelines and consider if there are ways to improve our guidance related to safety. So we published an advance notice of proposed rulemaking in April with a 90-day comment period. And we're seeking ideas and solutions to improve safety at sea. We've had a few public meetings already, and there's one more we'll be having in Seattle in July. And our comment period ends July 20th. Any comments we receive will consider during the drafting of proposed revisions to the guidelines. And I've included a website there where we're posting some information, and we'll continue to do so throughout this process. So in our advance notice of proposed rulemaking, we listed 8 issues that are under consideration, and I'll go through those now. So we're seeking comments on these and any other safety issues. I'll just want to note that these issues are not in priority order, And the first four can be seen as going together because they represent an analytical process for evaluating safety issues. So the first issue we identified is that we could, in our National Standard 10 guidelines, provide guidance on how to assemble and analyze fatality data. The Coast Guard, non-fatal injuries are reported to the Coast Guard, and they do maintain a database of that information. In addition, non-fatal injuries that require professional medical treatment are also supposed to be reported to the Coast Guard. So since this data is out there, we are considering providing guidance on how to analyze it through the management process. These are products that are produced by the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, and there should be one in there's four summaries that have been produced, one for the East Coast, West Coast, Alaska, and Gulf of Mexico, and the East Coast one is in the council briefing book. And this I put this up to show that how fatality data can be summarized and how it has been in the past. The second issue we identified is the idea of providing guidance on calculating fatality and injury rates. And rates are important because they provide a way to compare risk between fisheries and changes over time within a fishery. But to be able to calculate rates, we would need to have an estimate of the workforce in the fishery. And that could be generated by using information on the number of active vessels and number of operating days and the average crew size for vessels in the fishery. So we are considering providing guidance on how to calculate these rates and produce fatality rates so that they can be used to analyze the different fisheries. Here's an example of what that data would look like. On the left, there's a few fisheries listed. Again, this data comes from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. There's some fisheries listed along the left. The second column shows the number of fatalities that occurred between 2000 and 2009 within those fisheries. The third column is the number of, or the estimate of the full-time equivalent worker for each year during that time period. And then the last column is the annual rate, fatality rate. So, for example, for the Atlantic scallop fishery, there were 44 fatalities from 2000 to 2009, resulting in a rate of 425 per 100,000 workers. The third issue we identified in our advance notice proposed rulemaking is the possibility of providing guidance on how to evaluate risks within a fishery. So, for example, a risk assessment could be conducted to analyze if there are safety issues within the fishery, with the objective being that if there are issues and if conservation and management measures can be implemented to address those issues, well, then we should be doing that. Some examples of things that could be included in a risk assessment would look at the fatality rates and whether there have been changes over time, and the type of vessels in the fishery. And there could be other things, but we welcome comments on risk assessments and what should be included in such an assessment. The current guidelines contain three safety considerations and eight mitigation measures to consider when developing management measures to consider to address safety, and I mentioned those a few slides ago. So we seek comments on those sections of the guidelines and if there's additional considerations and measures that should be included. For example, other potential examples that could be included in the guidance could be emergency relief provisions for safety purposes, So, for example, allowing a vessel to land their catch in an area that they might not normally be authorized to do so, but could be allowed to for safety reasons. Allowing a second example could be allowing for vessel replacement, so allowing for vessels that are older to be replaced by newer and potentially safer vessels. And a third example could be allowing for transit through closed areas as opposed to transiting around a closed area to get to a desired location. Changing topics a little bit is we're welcoming the fifth issue we identified is that we're seeking information on safety issues in recreational fisheries and how to address those. So we welcome comments on that topic of safety in recreational fisheries. The sixth issue we identified has to do with consulting on safety issues. So the current guidelines suggest that the councils consult with the Coast Guard and the fishing industry during the development of management measures that might affect safety of human life at sea. So we welcome, as I said before, these consultations can be done through a council advisory panel or committee. So we welcome comments on this guidance and if there are other ways to consult on safety issues. And the seventh topic we identified is the idea of including safety issue information into stock assessment and fishery evaluation reports, which currently I don't think much safety information is included into these reports, and it could be a vehicle for reporting on safety information in addition to other biological information. So we welcome comments on that idea. And lastly, the eighth issue we identified is the relationship between National Standard 10 and fishery impact statements. The Magnuson Act requires that FMPs and FMP amendments have fishery impact statements, and when Magnuson Act was reauthorized in 2007, a new requirement was put in the fishery impact statement is supposed to look at possible mitigation measures for safety of human life at sea. And so we recognize that National Standard 10 of promoting safety at sea is similar to this requirement of addressing safety into the fishery impact statement. So we'll be looking into this relationship in our proposed rule stage, and we welcome comments on the relationship between the two requirements. So those are the eight issues that we described in our advance notice of proposed rulemaking, and we welcome comments on those and any other safety issues. I've included here how venues for providing comments, either through the regulations.gov website or through fax or by mail, and that's all within our advance notice of proposed rulemaking. And again, our deadline is July 20th. We had one public meeting in Silver Spring in May. We presented to a joint meeting between the Gulf Council and the South Atlantic Council earlier this month. We presented to the Mid-Atlantic Council earlier this month, and we'll be having a meeting in Seattle on July 19th. So in summary, we're requesting public comment on potential revisions to the guidelines, and I encourage the Council to provide written comments. And for the public to provide written comments as well. Again, our comment period ends July 20th, and the comments that we receive will be considered when we develop a proposed rule to revise the guidelines. So that concludes my presentation. So I welcome comments from the Council and from the public as well.
Thanks, Deb. Just looking over the public meetings that you've had so far, and I was remarking to Paul Howard how nice it must have been to attend a council meeting in Key West.
It
Portland's
was nice.
Nice, too. Open it up to the council for questions or comments. Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I recently had to testify at the National Transportation Safety Board about fishing vessel safety here in New England in our regulations. And Captain DeKohler and Ted Harrington in the back there provided a great deal of information that the Coast Guard already has on the number of accidents per 100,000 hours and things like that. And I was particularly concerned about the general category scallop accidents. And you can see in the numbers that between groundfish and scallops, there's you know, 10 times as many accidents in our region as anywhere else. So I think this is a good deal, a good thing that we're placing extra emphasis on safety. And I think that as we write our fishery management plans, we're going to be relying on Pete and Ted to provide an awful lot of additional information to us, because we don't collect that information. And sometimes when you say we, my dandruff goes up a little bit. And so I, you know, you referred to we are going to have to do this. We write the EISs and things. So we, Pete, are going to have to rely on you an awful lot for additional information to provide our EISs the meat they need.
Pete.
Absolutely. I have a question. On slide 16 and 17, you look at calculating the fatality rates. I would have two comments. One, I think if you can, and it's tough to go back, but Ted's done a nice job of capturing not just fatalities, but incidents that the Coast Guard has responded to. And I know there's challenges in collecting that data, but you might find that data probably more telling in your analysis. And also, my second point is, I hope you're not locked into a fatality rate per 100,000 workers, because, and I know that's the standard that the Department of Labor uses, but what you'll find, and when you, if you look at the fishing industry, you'll find that it's not a standard workforce. They don't work standard hours. There's not a 40-hour work week. It's you're never going to get apples to apples. And what you really need to focus on is the exposure to hazard, the exposure to risk, and that comes with hours fishing, which is, as Paul mentioned, we went to our casualty rate went to hours fished vice FTE.
So. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, we're going to have to work with the Coast Guard and with the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health on how to provide guidance that can be used across the country we need to work on it.
Right. And Jason, I don't know if he's here, but he has the local Jason Bertium. He has our information. So
okay.
It's been collected at some point.
Rodney?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Captain DeKohler made a couple of my points. You kind of beat me to the gun here. But I have a few additional ones. And some of this information, if you look on slide 17, it's got East Coast region. You've got Atlantic scallop, you've got multi-species, you've got Atlantic snapper and grouper. But there is a couple more fisheries that we've had fatalities in, especially the lobster fishery. That I don't know if those numbers are included here as a total number for the region, but they're not broke down. We've also had a couple of deaths resulting from people falling off a pier. And I know when it gets categorized, it's what boat they're on at the time when they fall off the pier. They could be on a dragger. They could be on a clamber. That's where it goes on to. So that's I've had this discussion with Dr. Lincoln. It's kind of misleading that way if you look at it. You know, because if I was to look at it right here, I'd say, well, we should stop scalloping altogether because that's the most dangerous fishery of them all. I said, if I was just to look at this number, I'd say we should stop scalloping altogether because that's the most dangerous fishery of them all. But a lot of them are not that. The other thing is, I fished 47 years actively. And I can tell you from personal experience and going around the waterfront right now, that the fishing industry in New England is more safety conscious now than they've ever been. And we're never going to stop fatalities. This building may catch on fire. And I'll bet you within five blocks of this building there's a fire department. And we'll put that fire out. But if my vessel was on George's and catch on fire, the closest assistance to me may be 100 miles away. And the only other survival thing I would have would be a life raft if it didn't get burnt up. So that's the difference. Fishing will never be like these other occupations. Because these other occupations, excuse me, I'm losing my voice. Maybe I talk too much. They perform in a level platform. They're working on stable, on dry land. The building's not rocking or rolling. It's not blowing. It's not snowing. It's none of them. Fisheries have to account for all of that. They have to work under them conditions. So they do take risks. So that's to associate this with a land job, I don't think it should be. This should be categorized separately. Thank you. I'll shut up.
Terry, then Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm looking at slide number 9 where it says avoid derby fisheries, and then jumping to slide 18 where it says evaluate risks in fisheries. And I'm wondering if any of the analysis that you folks are doing are evaluating the safety issues in the fisheries management under different management programs. You could have, you know, for instance, you know, in, with ground fish, we have a catch share program, we have a days at sea program. Are you measuring the differences in safety issues between the two different management plans?
No, not at this point. We're not, well, at least from a headquarters perspective, we're not looking at that level. But it's something that could be, I suppose, addressed in the guidelines, is to look at safety issues across different sectors within a fishery. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, I mean, across the country, we have, you know, multiple different fishery management plans and multiple different in some of the same fisheries. And I'm just, you know, I'm just asking the question if an evaluation of the different fishery management plans might provide some insight into avoiding derby fishing and having safer fishing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the answer. I'm just trying to connect the dots.
Right. And a lot of, you know, a lot of this data that I'm presenting is not research that the Fishery Services has produced. It's a lot of it comes from the National Institute for Occupational Safety or Health, or from the Coast Guard, and so we're presenting some of the information that they've shown. But if we, you know, I think what we're trying to do through this guideline revision project is provide a way that can provide guidance on how to analyze fatalities, and so that rates can be compared across fisheries, and if issues are identified, then addressing those issues.
Thank you.
Commercial fishing truly is a unique business with very special safety considerations, and some of the council members around the table have already highlighted that point. I certainly am aware of those safety considerations and the uniqueness of the fishing industry through my involvement with the Division of Marine Fisheries and just dealing with state waters fisheries, never mind federal waters fisheries. So I'm very glad that the service is offering up this opportunity to revisit the question of National Standard 10 guidelines and how should we address safety, how should we mitigate. Because you've offered up this opportunity for public comment, you sort of opened up the Pandora's box, because this could lead to all sorts of management actions that would back us away from management approaches that we have already adopted in different fisheries, because we will learn, more so than ever before, that we are creating some serious and have created some very serious safety problems. And now with the new guidelines in development, we may have to then, again, revisit those issues. I will focus on the Federal Register announcement. This is document number 3 under correspondence and reports. And in particular, I think what you're looking for us to provide, and here's where I turn to you right away, Mr. Chairman, what exactly do you want us to accomplish today? Are you looking for us to put together a list of considerations, issues for the service to consider as part of our formal comment on these proposed changes? I have a motion to make if you would like to go in that direction. I look to you for some guidance before I proceed.
Okay, so the comment period is the deadline's July 20th, I believe. If the council does want to provide comment during this comment period, then yeah, I would like to collect a list of issues and we'll have to debate them and decide what it is we're going to transmit in our comments.
Okay, in that case, a few more comments and then I have a motion to make.
I'll come back to you for a motion.
Okay. What I think this council should focus on, I'm certainly focusing on them. It would be the issues under consideration on page 22344, where under number 4, the middle column, we have safety considerations and mitigation measures, and the service is actually looking for some specific reaction to a few ideas that you're posing. And that those ideas are provided as examples. And here's where I think the council should focus its attention as part of our putting together comments for the benefit of the service. It says, for example, regarding mitigation measures, more mitigation measures to already add to add to the list that is already in the National Standard 10 guidelines. Mitigation measures to consider when developing management measures. One example is NIMS could consider how fisheries management measures can better complement and reinforce the U.S. Coast Guard safety regulations. Fine enough, that's important. But then here's where I turn my attention to. In addition, where regulations currently restrict vessel upgrades or replacement, mitigation measures could include allowing for vessel replacement in a fleet so that older vessels can be replaced with newer and safer vessels. So that's the first one. And then other potential mitigation measures include eliminating or reducing penalties for cutting fishing trips short due to weather or other conditions. And then the last one that's listed here, which kind of caught me by surprise, but I like it. Extending fishing seasons to allow for quotas to be reached. So those are three ideas offered up, three examples offered up by the service for us to consider. And frankly, I think that all three of those ideas are good ones to consider in the list of mitigation measures. And I have a couple of others to add, which I'll do in the form of a motion when it's appropriate, Mr. Chairman.
Thanks, Dave. Doug?
Just had a couple questions on slide 20. You have some information on recreational activity and accidents. Are these just marine accidents in marine waters, or does this include Great Lakes and even small lakes?
Yeah, that table comes from a Coast Guard report, and it when I looked into it some more, I realized that it comes from freshwater state waters, and actually there were only, out of the vessel accidents that were reported, only I think two or three of the fatalities occurred in federal waters. So that's why I removed it, that table from the PowerPoint presentation here, since I realized it's really more representing state waters.
Just a follow-up, and then the intention with your item 7 on 22 is sort of getting at how we might get some information on the need to address safety in our specific management plans. Is that the intent of this, providing information to us in the SAFE reports on fatalities? Fatality rates and risk assessment is so that the councils may have the ability to say, well, this is our current management plans are safe or not safe. Is that what the intention behind this is?
Well, I think it's the idea is that safety information could be provided into these reports, and we could provide guidance on what type of information to be included into the report so that it's something that's more regularly reported on, and it's put in front of the council more often so that the information is out there and available is what the idea is behind this. The idea is that safety information could be included into SAFE reports or some other document, but I think the thinking is just to provide this information on a more regular basis.
Paul Howard.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To Doug's point, Doug, part of the management review that we'll discuss on Thursday, I think, is that they want us to have a measurement system. So when we establish goals and objectives, that we measure them to see how we're doing. And in dealing with the Coast Guard, our general category scallop fleet is pretty significant with the amount of accidents. So I would think that in our next action, we might want to have a goal to lower that. So then we could measure that by looking at the statistics the Coast Guard gave us of 120, I think it was, per 100,000 hours. Let's have a goal to lower that and put in some measures that we might be able to find, you know, determine why is it high and what can we do to lower it, and then we could measure if we're doing that. So it doesn't necessarily have to be in a SAFE report. It could be in this new system that we're going to measure how we're doing against our goals and objectives.
David?
Yeah, I had 3 points. One, the first one was, I hope you're sticking around for the afternoon because our enforcement committee's up next, and we discussed this pretty extensively and had, we did have some questions on the Federal Register text, and we did come up with a number of possible solutions to look at, and rather than go through them twice, I think we'll just wait for that. The second point I wanted to make is to follow up on Rodney's suggestion that when doing a risk assessment that you break out piers as a separate category, piers, docks, whatever you want to call them. It's a very dangerous place. I'm a barely living example of that. But it's not, it shouldn't be attributed to vessels. And it's not really have anything to do with fisheries management plans, but it's still where a lot of fatal or nearly fatal accidents occur. And the last thing I wanted to point out is that it's going to be difficult to promulgate guidelines, regulations, anything, whether it's you, the Coast Guard, the National Transportation Safety Board, anything, because all vessels are different. Each vessel is a unique platform. And as such, it has a unique set of characteristics, and it has to, and safety has to be dealt with on a vessel-by-vessel basis in a unique way. And if we try to apply some kind of one-size-fits-all safety requirements, I think we're going to fail miserably.
Mary Beth?
Yeah, I just had one question for Captain DeCola. I was wondering if the Coast Guard was planning on providing any comments to the agency. Is that, would that be a normal procedure to occur or not?
I believe we will be commenting on that. Right, Ted? Then we will be commenting on it, yes.
Anything further from the council? Rodney?
Yeah, and at our enforcement meeting, Mr. Harrington said that they already had, didn't you have some information on broken down by vessels, vessel length, vessel type, I believe, time of the year, location, all that? So that is current. You have that already? Will that be available to us?
Pete?
Ted has, he's using the same permit breakdown that we've done before, and he's updating it, I would presume, to be more current. So, yes. And that would include age, Jim, yes.
Jimmy?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that I think the important aspect of this is the age of the fleet. And I know we can't analyze it, but it's something we should think about going forward. It's also profitability. It seems to me that when you have an industry like Northeast Multispecies, it's pretty clear it's been unprofitable for a long time, and it's showing up in this kind of statistics time and time again, yet we don't think about that. So I just think, I don't know where to put that in the matrix, but it's something we should be aware of. But the age we should have in the matrix that we get out of the reports that these guys are doing. Thank you.
Anyone else on the council? Mary Beth?
I certainly do agree with Jimmy, and I was just going to let Dr. Pierce make his motion and see if there was a place to amend or add to it, you know, that we somehow would be considering the economic health of fisheries in relationship to safety.
So what I'm thinking is we should probably hold off on a motion until after we take the enforcement committee report and see what our committee has to say about this Federal Register notice, and then we can put the motion up on the table and figure out what it is we want to transmit in our public comment. Anything further from the council? I saw some hands in the audience. Jim Kendall.
Yeah, thank you. Jim Kendall, New Bedford Seafood Consulting. I'd like to ask you a question, if I might, and get an explanation of this full-time equivalent for employees. How do you attain those numbers, or how are they derived? Because it's definitely, there are no 10,000 scallopers in our industry.
So the full-time equivalent employee, I should just note that this is not a number that we derived. It comes from the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health for these fisheries. And it this is a number of annual employees for each year during 2000 to 2009. So the number of employees that were in the fishery in each year added together for those 9 years.
So that's a total of 9 years of employees for a total 9 years. That's not 1 year that you're looking at for each, like that 10,000 value.
Right. And it's and there's a method to coming up with that number that I can't fully describe, but it involves, it's derived from a number of the active vessels in the fishery in each of those years, the number of days that those vessels were operating in the fishery, and the crew size of the vessels.
I'm not looking to put you on the spot, but I'm just trying to get an understanding of these numbers. The closest that I could come to it is rounding out that there may be 3,000 fishermen involved in a scallop fishery over a year. And if you're looking that they're fishing maybe a third of the year, then you multiply that by three, you come out to close to 9,000, 10,000. So I was wondering if that's how it was done. The reason I'm trying to get to a better understanding of that number is oftentimes we hear as a method to encourage safety or improve safety is to reduce the race to fish. And that makes sense. But oftentimes when we remove the pressure for the race to fish, we increase the pressure to fish. And we do that by consolidating the fleet and putting a shoreside owner or manager in a position where he tells three or four of his boats, I want you to go out there and fish. You don't have to race, but you will go today. And when you seemingly remove, one obstacle to your goal of attaining safety, management measures, in effect, can turn it around and put you in a position where someone who has no concern about the weather or the condition of the vessel is another instance that gets raised as to safety. These are all linked to the management measures, and that's where I was coming to on that issue, is that the management issues that we're currently doing, i.e. catch years, is another way of replacing the race to fish with another obstacle to safety. But thank you for that. I was just trying to really get a grasp on that.
Chris Kellogg.
I think I'm just a little concerned about doing any specific quantitative analysis of safety risks for a single plan or action simply because of the nature of the sample size, either in time or the number of vessels that we have, and then relating them to management measures. I think it would be important to really draw on an in-depth national study to, or the types of information that have been presented so far to look at the types of management measures that might create unsafe conditions. If we get too specific in our plans, I don't think we're going to be coming up with a very good analysis. And also, on the PDTs, we're not used to analyzing those particular factors. Mm-hmm. So that's just a concern I have in going forward.
Thank you. We in the advanced notice of proposed rulemaking under the risk assessment section, we evaluating risks issue number 3. We put a sentence in there about looking into how often these risk assessments should be conducted. So we welcome comments on that. So it may not necessarily be something that has to be done every year or during for every management action, but it could be something that is done, say, every 5 years or at some frequency. But we welcome comments on that.
Ron Smallwoods, Fisheries Survival Fund. Just a quick comment. Back when I went to Maritime College 45 years ago, they taught us, well, the sea is selective, slow in recognition of effort and aptitude, but fast in sinking the unfit. But they said half of the injury and mortalities to mariners was between the dock and the vessel. Like, and I'm wondering if that current statistic holds true. I mean, union requirements in the merchant marine is that there be a gangway with a railing, even at Woods Hole. And obviously anybody that's tried to board a fishing vessel from the dock, at you could understand the issue at hand. So I'd hate to see us go down a path of trying to do all sorts of changes for things that we really can't control and find out that the main source of injury and mortality is between the dock and the vessel.
Pete?
I don't think that's the case.
Okay, anything further for Deb? And we'll get into the enforcement, and then once we take the enforcement report and see what they had to say about this, if the council wants to, we can have a motion and discussion about what we want the content of our comments to be. Okay. Deb, thank you very much. If you are available to stick around and listen to our conversation, that'd be great. Thank you. Rodney, you ready to roll?